D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, I'm going to ask you the question that you have been asked more than anything probably in your entire life. What are you hearing about the Nashville Predators as we approach the deadline a week from tomorrow?
Look, I think Barry is looking to see what's out there. I think there's a whole bunch of centers out there, Adam, guys like Braden Schenn at the high end, other players like Scott Laughton, Jake Evans, Yanni Gord, your guys, McCarron, Sissons. Some guys are rentals, some guys aren't. Teams kind of know what the possibilities are, what the prices are, who's going to cost what. And I think they're just waiting to figure out which one they want to go for and when they're ready to make their move. Like I said, I think there's a whole bunch of centers out there. I think you guys have a couple of them, and it just comes down to who decides to do what.
So we've discussed the possibility of Michael McCarron being traded. He comes relatively cheap at $900,000 per season through next season. We've talked about Colton Sissons a little bit, perhaps Barry Trotz testing the market on Colton Sissons, but we haven't seen his name on trade boards or anything like that. What do you think the market could be for a player like Colton Sissons?
Well, I think that Sissons is he's a respected player. Obviously he isn't like an absolute superstar or anything like that, but people respect his game, and he plays a playoff kind of game. And he's versatile. He can play in a couple different places. He can play wing. He can play center. He's got a little bit of term there. He's got one more year, and the salary doesn't hurt you. Like, the one thing about his contract is, even though his cap hit is about just under $3 million, his cash really goes down next year. So those kinds of deals, which are what we call cash under cap, those are deals that people really like. So I think there's interest in him out there. I don't think the price would be incredibly high in terms of what people like. There's options out there right now. Like, that's the toughest thing for Nashville in this situation in terms of a return is there's a lot of players out there that are similar, and you can pick and choose based on the price that you want to pay. So I could see a situation where Barry Trotz might say, you know what, for what we think of Sissons, it might not be worth what we could get in return, and we just keep him. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges he will face, is that there's a lot of players out there who are somewhat similar, and the price, therefore, might not be very high.
As you're putting together your big board of centers who could be available at the trade deadline, you had the report last month about Ryan O'Reilly, and that the Predators are going to treat Ryan O'Reilly as if though he has trade protection in his contract, although he does not have trade protection in his contract. Where would you slot Ryan O'Reilly on your big board in terms of desirable centers around the league?
Well, I think people would love to have him. I would be shocked, Adam. I mean, I would be really surprised unless something has really changed that I don't know about. I don't believe he wants to be traded, and I don't like O'Reilly has huge respect around the league. If he was really available, I think there would be a lot of teams that would be interested. But what's interesting to me is, you'd have to convince me that it was a situation he wanted to go to. I do think that if he wanted to go somewhere, somebody would probably say, okay, what's it going to take? And we'll work about getting it done. Like, that's how high I think he's thought of. But you would have to convince me first, Adam, that there's somewhere he wants to go.
Now, Elliot, with that being said, Barry did, he was on with Jared. He did mention that, hey, listen, because Jared asked him about some of these guys that have no movement clause within their contract. And Barry said, yeah, basically, yeah, he would, you know, go to a guy that had that in their contract and ask if he would waive it in this situation. And based upon your history at covering teams and situations like this, how many times does that truly work out where a guy waives his clause, there's not anything out there that the team wants, and then he comes back to that team that asks him to waive that clause? Does that typically work out for that player after that, if he remains with the team?
Usually what will happen, Derek, is you usually get situations where guys only are asked to do that in one of two situations. Mm-hmm. One is a team comes with a huge offer. And because what a lot of teams will say is, I'm not going to this guy unless you give me a reason. Mm-hmm. So if you actually give them a reason, they'll come there and they'll say, okay, we just got a trade we might actually want to make. How would you feel about it? And oftentimes they'll go to the agent first. And sometimes the player might say, okay. Other times the player might say, no chance. And in that situation, you can kind of smooth it over a bit by saying, look, we only came to you because we got an unbelievable offer. Now, I will say this, Derek, you know players. Some of them get their back up about these kinds of things. Others, they handle it really well. The second case is when things are going really badly. And they say to them, if you don't, like, this is what happened with Jacob Trouba and the Rangers this year. You know, his play unfortunately fell. The Rangers were really unhappy with him. And they warned him that things were going to get worse if he didn't accept a trade somewhere. And eventually he agreed to go to the Ducks. So that is a more serious case. And in that situation, it's almost impossible to repair the relationship. But things have to be going really badly between a player and a team for it to get there. Like that situation in New York this year, that was like poison. That's how bad that was.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So along those lines, Elliot, Barry Trotz made public on Tuesday with his weekly second fiddle report that, you're the first fiddle. Trotsky would be the second fiddle. We should do a meme with you and Trotsky playing violins.
Banjos.
Yeah, at the Grand Ole Opry or something like that. Yeah. But he said he went to some of the top veterans and said, here's my plan. Are you in? And if you're not, just let me know and we can try to do something about that. Yeah. Have you heard a GM use that tactic before? What did you think of that strategy?
Well, I have heard of it happening before. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. And I'm sure that he probably went to the agents first. Or at least they were probably aware of it. Like, I don't think Trotz is like a... I don't think Barry Trotz is a guy that's like a deceitful guy or a bad guy or anything like that. I think in that kind of a situation, he's simply trying to get a hold on, what everybody thinks. Because the way everybody signed last summer and the way where we are this year, it's very different, unfortunately, for the Predators. And, the last thing you want is you don't want players coming out and saying, this is not what I signed up for, because then it creates the impression that you're not communicating with them or they're not all in. So I don't have any problem with what he did there. I think it's probably a very smart play. As far as I know right now, I don't think anybody has said I'm not on board with this. And I think the key thing is here, and you guys are much closer to this, especially you, Willie, I don't think the Predators are interested in a teardown or a long rebuild. I think their goal is to come right back, fix whatever ails them, and go for it and compete again next year. And I think as long as that's the case, I think that their guys are probably going to buy into that. Players want to win. And I absolutely think that that's the Predators. Like, do you guys have any reason to believe the Predators as an organization are thinking any differently?
No, I don't think there's any reason. The question would be, how will they pull it off, and especially the way that they have sunk. And along those lines, Elliot, I wonder what's going to happen in the next 25 games because, here they just lost Roman Josi. Here come the Jets tonight. It's getting tougher for them to maybe see the light at the end of the tunnel, whereas maybe a month ago, I think Andrew Burnett was seeing some signs of life, right? They started to win some games. They were starting to get some production from the top guys. And with that in mind, I'm wondering what's going through the mind of a Steven Stamkos right now. He probably can't remember the last time he had a team that was out of it before March, and now he's gone 10 straight games without a point, which is also uncharted territory for him. So trying to keep his morale up and people on those lines, to me, that's a big story. So you know Stamkos a little bit. You've known him for a long time. What do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I think this whole year has been a complete roller coaster for him. there's a lot of players. I did this a few years ago, and I should probably update it. But Willie, I did a piece a few years ago, just looking at just pure production of players in the first year after free agency. Like when they make big moves in free agency, and it's a little bit subjective, but there's some math to it. And you'd be amazed at how many players really struggle. And so it's not anything anyone's going to like to hear or want to hear, but with a big picture look at it, maybe it shouldn't be as big a surprise that this happened. Now, Steven Stamkos picked Nashville for a reason. And as far as I know, I have no reason to believe at this time he's changed his opinion about that in any way, shape, or form. He always takes good care of himself. He's still a very competitive guy. I would think right now his pure thought is, how can I prepare myself this summer so this doesn't happen again? Now, I think the one thing that, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Trotz maybe has Novak out there too as a centerman, seeing what the interest is for him, considering a year ago at this time there was interest that they didn't keep him. To me, that's still Barry's big question, is what's he going to do down the middle? And sometimes in the off season, you have a better chance of figuring that out.
Mm. We've asked you periodically throughout the season about the Ryan Johansson grievance. I think there was finally some movement on that. Or do you get a sense?
That was heard this week.
So do you get a sense of how long it'll be before you hear the verdict on this? With the trade deadline looming, it's probably pretty significant.
I have not heard. I have not heard when it'll be. But when you have a hearing, it's close. So I should check actually, because I can't remember if there's a deadline for after an arbitration is heard. I can't remember if there's a deadline for when a decision has to be rendered. Let's see if I can do two things at once and Google that while I'm talking to you.
Okay. Multitasking. We all try to do that. Here's in the meantime, let's discuss another center that you mentioned, because I would think that every team that's looking at centers would at least kick the can and do their research. But give me your thoughts on Casey Mittelstadt, why he's maybe dipped from last year to this year, and why the Avalanche might be looking to move on. And do you think that could be a guy that might be an upgrade from a Novak or the centers that the Predators currently have?
I think he is available. Colorado, I think, has been a bit disappointed with him. Like, I think Casey Mittelstadt's a really talented guy, and Colorado had big hope for him. It's an interesting one. I would have to say that, guys. But they really wanted him to be, like, the number two center behind McKinnon. And they've been hurt a little bit. Like, Nichushkin was back for their game last night from injury, and they just look like a much different team when he's playing. Before, they were basically a one-line team. Like, McKinnon, Lekkonen, and Natchez were doing everything, and the other three lines were giving them nothing. And last night with Nichushkin, he had, I think, five shots. They're just a different team with him, and he makes them better. But I know they've been disappointed with him a little bit, and they were hoping he could pick up more of an offensive slack than he has.
So with that in mind, I'm intrigued because he's only 26, and he's got 2 years left at a reasonable price. So if you had to sort of start the gauge of what would be the market for him? Are you starting with the first-round pick? Would you have to throw in a player? Certainly the Avalanche aren't trying to downgrade their current talent pool, right? They're trying to win, so you probably have to offer them somebody that could replace him.
Yes, or I actually find sometimes it depends on what does Colorado want. Like, do they want another player or do they want to clear cap room? That's what it usually comes down to in that situation. You would expect that they would try to get the best young player or prospect that they can, or maybe it's a change of scenery deal. Like, maybe they traded a really good player to get him, Bowen Byram. And so you're not getting that, I don't think, but you're not just throwing this guy away. So I can see Colorado saying, look, like, he's still a guy we have hopes for. We would like a similarly impactful player. And so they'd probably ask you for somebody who was similar. Like, in my head, you know, like, in my head, it makes sense. I stress this is purely in my head. In my head, it makes sense, like a Novak for kind of Mittelstadt deal, but I think it would have to be more than that from the Predators.
Elliot, before we let you go, I know you're a busy man at this time of the year. The Mikko Rantanen situation seems to be looming large over this trade deadline. You had a report over the weekend that the Hurricanes made an offer into the nine digits. But Rantanen still needs some time to process the sudden change after the trade from Colorado to Carolina. Of course, Carolina may not have that luxury. What is your read on this situation as of now?
I think they're waiting for him to give them some kind of indication. You know, I the one thing you have to look at too, Adam, is he really hasn't been in Raleigh since they've got traded.
True.
You know, they've played some games, but they also had the time away from the Four Nations. After the Four Nations, they were on a road trip. You know, they're back in there tonight, and they're wearing the old Whalers uniforms, which actually look fantastic.
I wonder what the Hurricanes fans think of that, too. It's like, those are really cool uniforms, but if you're a Hurricanes fan, aren't you like, what do we have to do with Hartford? Like, they get it, but that's always been an interesting one to me.
At the beginning I wasn't sure, but then the way I saw them looked, the way they looked, I really liked it. I think fans like cool stuff. I honestly do.
Yes.
So, and if they look terrible, they'd probably hate them, but they actually look really cool.
Yeah. We do get that here, the Houston Oilers. Of course, it's the same ownership family, so it makes a little bit more of a connection, and Derek did wear the Tennessee Oiler / Houston Oiler uniform, and they will pull those out every now and then.
The baby blues?
Yes.
I love those. Oh, those were beautiful uniforms. Every time I see those things, I think of Earl Campbell running with his shirt off. Like, I just,
yeah, the ripped jersey.
It brings back such great memories of that guy. But I just think the question for me is, if he doesn't give them an indication by next Friday, what do they do? I think that's the biggest question of all.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old, Elliot. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week, one day out from the NHL trade deadline.
All right, guys, take care.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. Quickly, one piece of NFL news to pass along. According to Adam Schefter, the Chiefs have informed Trey Smith that he will be franchise tagged. That according to Adam Schefter. The Chiefs have informed Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith that he will be franchise tagged. But coming up next, we will react to what Elliot had to say. We're also going to give Willie Donick an opportunity to respond to Joe Rexroad. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Willie, we never said UC Soros is the problem. We never said that. But he is a concern. There is a concern. They signed him to a long-term deal. It's a legitimate, fair discussion to wonder if he is going to live up to that contract. Now, as Willie brought into evidence, they had a great interview.
Kevin Woodley on.
And I did listen, and Willie told me to listen. I went back, listened to it, and it's a compelling interview, and there's a lot of good points made in it. And I don't think – you tell me. Sometimes I forget what I say and what you say. I don't think either of us said, he's screwed, it's over. I mean, again, Stilly's over here like he must sent back to Finland, right. You know, in a box. I mean, like, we're not there, okay? I mean, but there's concern. I mean, there is concern. It's legitimate. It's okay. And by saying there's concern is not saying UC Soros is the biggest problem. He's the worst goalie in the league, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what we're saying. So, again, there's plenty of discussion that can happen back and forth. And honestly, when it comes down to it, all of us are going to sit here and we're going to see.
Yeah.
We're going to sit here. We're going to find out. But you know, Willie pointed out, you know, he had a great game the other day.
He did.
Yes. It's so bad. It gets interesting when you talk about things being so bad around him as they are. And so then you get into, again, the goals, saves by expected, all that stuff, and how legitimate are those stats. And a very good thing that we've brought up before that's a real-life example for us is that Kevin Lankinen's underlying numbers per the metrics people in this league were terrible. And the Preds signed, and we said, really? And then he came in, and he was good.
Yeah.
So I trust that these teams have better data than we do. No question.
Schoolyard bash. Schoolyard bash. Schoolyard bash.
Schoolyard bash.
Apparently, Rex Rhodes said, Willie almost beat me up in the parking lot at the station.
I did accost Joe in the parking
was
lot.
Was it the same type of accosting that Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport allegedly
No.
had?
Did you get up in his face? Did you grab his arm a little?
No.
What did you do?
I didn't. But it was funny. I had texted him the interview because I knew he and Robbie had talked about this, quote, concern. So I will start this by saying, name me a predator that is not a concern. It's all relative, right? But who always gets more attention? The quarterback and the goalie.
The pitcher. Yes.
Right.
The goalie.
They, especially the quarterback and the goalie. To me, they are along the same lines of too much credit, too much blame.
Yeah.
So when I gave them that interview with Woodley, to me, that was a good eye-opening thing that tries to put into context how much is on the goalie and how much is happening in front of him to make his job very tough. And I have always started the conversation with this. UC Soros has not had a great year. And he has had, if you really kind of shave it down the middle of specifics, it's from about December 15th until the league stopped playing. And Adam, you did a really good job of talking about what happened there. In that, can I blame everything on the poor defensive environment that he's in? No, I think UC Soros would tell you he wasn't in the groove. So he hasn't had his best year. But when we're talking about concern, and Robbie and Joe always, and this goes back, we had this debate of the Avengers and everything, should they sign Soros or should they trade him? They were in the boat of don't sign him to long term. So I think there is I'm concerned about the contract going forward. I think what Kevin Woodley defined was he's had a bit of a dip, but put it in the context of how much has been asked of him. He's had to be superhuman to keep his team in games, and his team never scores. Put all that together, there's almost no goalie that could have success the way this team has evolved this year. So Woodley's thing is, I think his quote was, I'm not selling my UC Soros stock. In Joe's Athletic, right? Joe writes for the Athletic, does a great job, does his research. His group, the Athletic, polled all of the tiers of goalies, right? They got goalie coaches, they got all the executives, everything. UC Soros is a tier one goalie. Yeah. So at the time that I accosted Joe, he had not listened to the Kevin Woodley interview. So at least in that rant, in the Rex rant, and by the way, I wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, Willie.
I love that I'm the part of the Rex rant. I enjoy bantering with Joe and Robbie.
I'm always saying that we should have more.
We do this for fun, right? This is not a brawl at the Starbucks.
Well,
Starbucks brawl.
I'm always saying.
There is a Starbucks right down the road from our station.
There are a couple.
Maybe it just wants a fight.
Yes. Yeah. World star. I'm always saying that we should have more intra-station bickering that's not just insert show here versus Jared, because that's what it tends to be.
Yeah.
Joe versus, of course, there's Jared versus Joe. And then we go back and forth with Jared. So I'm liking that it's Joe versus Willie. Let's freshen it up a little bit.
And I have gone on their station and hashed this out back when it was the Avengers.
But, so, I mean, why isn't it – and I understand, like, some of the concerns because, like you said, there should be concerns with the team in general.
There's a concern with every eight-year contract. There's a concern with every Predator.
Exactly.
I just don't think UC Soros, relative to all the other concerns, is anywhere close to the top of the list. I'm not concerned long-term. There's a difference between a player having a slump and a player that is in decline. I think what I'm hearing in their words, and I don't want to lump Robbie in here, but I think they sort of see eye to eye. Their concern is that he is in decline and not in a slump. I'm not arguing he's played great this year at all. I just think he is dipping as the team around him is collapsing.
I think he is
not a goal. That's very different than his skill set is declining. That's what Woodley, I think, points out in his interview, which is why I wanted Joe to listen to the interview.
Well, I look at it as, you know, from a term, when you're talking about quarterbacks, if you sign a quarterback to a big deal and you go out and get players around them, mainly the offensive line, and you're paying those guys too, but for some reason those guys are not playing well at all up front, or two out of five or three out of five aren't playing well, which is going to affect the quarterback in turn. You're not going to say, well, a quarterback, just because he got this contract, he's diminishing as a player. No, he's not having the greatest season, but what hurts him as well is the guys up front that are not blocking for him. UC has shown he's a top-tier goalie. But because he's not getting the support in front of him, while he's having a not good season, that not good season is also magnified because the guys in front are not playing well either. So let's do this by percentages. Say if my career up until this point has been a 95, and then all of a sudden I dip to a 90 or an 87, and the guys in front of me aren't playing well, does that mean that I am diminishing as a player, or does it mean that I'm doing all I can? Am I playing my best? No, but the guys in front of me aren't helping me either.
Right, okay.
There's only so much that I can do.
Adam, let me just hit you with a couple of quick yes or no's.
Sure.
Ranking the concerns. Let's make a list of concerns for the Predators.
Okay.
What's a bigger concern long-term for next year, the year after, as Barry Trotz looks towards the trade deadline? Bigger concern.
Center.
Okay, let's start with that one. All right.
Huge concern.
Is UC Soros a bigger concern, or is their lack of center production a bigger concern? What's bigger? It's a no-brainer.
The center production.
Yes. What's a bigger concern, UC Soros and his long-term production, or Luke Evangelista's sophomore slump?
I mean, I would put more stock in UC Soros there, because you would hope that Luke Evangelista would be part of the solution.
Well, but I'm saying, what's a bigger concern? Luke Evangelista has had a huge drop-off from last year and the year before, where he had a taste of it, to what he's done this year.
I would kind of put that at the push, to be honest with you.
Okay. What's a bigger concern? The defense core, the performance of Brady Shea, the aging of Roman Josi, or UC Saros long term?
The defense, absolutely.
Absolutely. So we could go on for
Steven
a long time
with Stamkos.
This. There you go. The Steven Stamkos, his lack of production, or UC Saros long term?
Steven Stamkos.
Okay, so you see where I'm going. This has been my point all along, is Saros is a guy that's in a slump on a team that has collapsed in front of him. Everybody's a concern. Relative to the others, UC Saros is way, way further down the list. That's not. I'm not worried about him. I'm much more worried about the things that I just brought up to you.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next with some interesting Titans news that I'm not sure people are going to like. And we'll get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Jets tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 6 right here on 1025, 1063, The Game. And Stillman Company is coming up next. But before we do, a headline from TitansOnline.com from our good old friend, Jim Wyatt. Woo-hoo. From the NFL Combine, : Titans say quarterback Mason Rudolph under consideration for a return to the team in 2025.
Man, please don't do that.
Here's the quote. Here's the quote. So this is from Jim, the first part. Here at the NFL Combine, I asked both Borgonzi and Callahan about Rudolph and their interest in re-signing him in some capacity. Quote, Mason is certainly under consideration, Callahan said. Mason was a really quality player for us, especially the importance of that position, the second quarterback. Being able to manage part of the room, perform, I was really pleased with Mason. I would welcome him back if that was the right fit.
I'm okay with him saying whatever he wants to say. I think you're trying to throw all kinds of things into the water just to keep everybody busy. I think that would be a very tough sell if you're trying to sell tickets, right? But again, what's your goal? I don't think it's a crazy thing if you're the Titans to, I don't want to say punt or tank, but would it be the worst thing if they're picking in the top three again a year from now? That's
it'd be worse thing for what Brian is the Callahan.
Well, you can't worry about that. If you're Mike Borgonzi, et cetera, like, I get it with Callahan. We've talked about that. But how are you going to quickly – what's the quickest pathway to build your roster back up? It might be to pick in the top five next year. And you get a professional quarterback who like you said, runs the offense. He can run the offense.
I
get it. It's – doesn't matter who your quarterback. Fill in the blank with your quarterback. You're going to be hard pressed to win more than six or seven games. So is it better to win six or seven, or is it better to win four or five, and pick high again? If that's your goal, right? And if you're going to go tell me we're going to try to win, okay, then probably that's not Mason Rudolph is not the answer.
Listen,
what's the end game?
Whether I'm winning or I'm losing, I don't want Mason Rudolph nowhere near my center.
You just want somebody different no matter who it is, a live body.
Because here's the thing. That position for this team is critical, and for every other team is critical, but for this team, for this reason, you're going to further lose your fan base. I know there are people out there saying, "Oh, just tank again, just throw anybody back there, and let's lose again, and let's get Manny, let's get him, let's set ourselves." I get all that, but there are a lot of people that don't feel that way. And if you continue to lose and you lose in boring fashion, like they did last year, you're gonna lose your fan base even more. It's gonna be harder to get them back in, especially when prices are going up. If you are still going to, I would rather have Jameis Winston as my quarterback. And I've said this before.
Right, because it would be more interesting.
It would be more interesting. We still may end up winning four games. But
at the end of the day, you're in the entertainment business.
I
get that.
I guarantee you this. Yeah. We're going to average 25 points a game. We may lose 28 to 25.
Yeah.
But I'm scoring. The fans are going to come into the stadium. Why? Because they know we're going to put up points. That's all I'm about. You got to allow this. You got to make sure you do what you can to keep your fan base in those seats. Because once they leave, it's going to, right. And again, they're building that new stadium.
I grant you. The Mason Rudolph doesn't sit. Yeah, it sells no hope.
Well
it doesn't
with
sell
nobody
any hope.
If you say, even if you bring in somebody Mason Rudolph caliber, it can't be Mason Rudolph the name. You got to go with somebody else.
I see. Just because it's a new, it's the shiny
exactly.
new toy
what about
gives
Mason
you more hope.
Rudolph with a mustache
in disguise.
Yeah.
Mason.
Maybe the dark rim glasses, big
yes.
nose, and mustache.
Mason
yes.
Foodoff.
Yes. Mason.
This isn't Mason Rudolph.
Mason Mudoff.
This ain't Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
Mason Foodoff.
You mean Jason Mudoff?
This yes. is Jason Rudolph. Yeah. Well, no, I get it. But I think if the tactic is, look, let's present all possibilities uh-huh. to all questions just so nobody can really maybe hone in to what our real plan is, that happens all the time now.
Willie, quickly before we end our show. As people know, we have been making a list of banned words and phrases on our program. We've banned the adjective generational.
Yes.
We've banned the phrase checks off all the boxes yes, or any yes. derivative of checks off all the boxes. We've banned the word convicted after the spirited yeah. argument that you two had last week,
yes.
following
yes.
up on
it
Robbie
doesn't
Sandler.
Take much to cancel words for
no, it does
phrases.
Not.
The list is growing.
But you said you had one you wanted
I've
to
I've got
offer.
One to bring to the table that I'm hearing a lot on broadcasts of games. I'm hearing a lot on talk shows, on TV, on radio, and I'm seeing it in print a lot on the feeds of the social media, right? It's the running gag. So I'm saying we've hit the limit on this. We've got to move on to a different phrase.
Okay.
I nominate, that wasn't on my bingo card, as a phrase that needs to be retired for a while.
They've been okay? using that forever, haven't they?
But I feel like I'm seeing it a ton
okay.
recently.
It's Ed Vogue.
It's like to try to get the laugh. Like,
yeah.
I didn't have Derek showing up in ice skates on my bingo card today.
You
so
would never have
it's
that
just,
on
you,
bingo
but you insert
card.
That to get your joke across,
yes,
right?
Yes, I get it.
And so it's like a throwaway line. So I'm asking for some of these people that say this mm-hmm. and go to that well too often, like, when's the last time you played bingo?
In school, I think.
Yeah.
Last time I played bingo.
Some of these guys,
I was on vacation,
some of these younger guys, I would contend, have never played bingo.
You got a point, yeah.
I didn't have that on my bingo card. Have you ever played bingo?
No. Well, you would never have it on your card.
So can we, let's find another way to say that. And If I come up with that, if I say that during a broadcast, I'm going
to
really kick myself. Because we all fall into these traps.
You're going to say it
tonight. The reason we do this is I just the other day said something about he checks all the boxes. You had to stop me mid-sentence. So I might do it. And I have played bingo. But it's just been a long time. It's probably been 25 or 30 years since I've played bingo.
What we're going to do at some point is we're going to get the sound that Pee-wee Herman would play on Pee-wee's Playhouse when someone said the secret word.
Yeah, okay.
Like
all right, let's do that.
That's going to happen
so
anytime.
I want everybody
David's
out there.
David's going to hit that button every time we say
be
something.
On the lookout when you go through your social media feed uh-huh. or when you're listening to a broadcast or watching, you know, some debate going on. If somebody uses the phrase or on a podcast, wherever you listen, if somebody says, I didn't have that on my bingo card, I want you to know. I want you to think of us right now because I'm doing my part to try to ban that phrase and, you know, put it on the shelf for a while because we're going to it too much. We're going to it too much.
I didn't have this on my bingo card, man.
Willie, give me your 30-second Predators Jets preview. Jets in town, winners of 11 consecutive games. No Roman Josi tonight for the Predators.
Roman Josi has been ruled out. They have not said what his status is for the upcoming 3-game road trip, but I think. It doesn't look good, I would say, but that's just me speculating. But he is out tonight. You've got a very thin defense corps that was already struggling in a big way, and you're playing against the Jets who have won 11 straight games, and they are, I think, top to bottom. They've been the most effective team. They are probably on their way to the President's Trophy. So it's trying to slay the dragon tonight, and you're just looking for life from some of these guys. Nashville has scored 3 goals in the 3 games, albeit against good competition. They've won one of the games, 2-1, but they've only got 3 goals in 3 games offensively. They're giving up way too much heat defensively. That's not a good formula, But let's see if they can rise to the occasion tonight against Winnipeg.
Slay the Dragon is on the list.
Slay the Dragon.
We don't have time. We'll consider it tomorrow. Predators and Jets tonight. Puck drop at 7. Pregame at 6 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love of your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. Peace.